heading was God Intends Good, and I was speaking about battles and blessings, and I was making reference to Joseph's story when he was taken into Egypt, where God intended all of that for good to ensure that there was a reputable person in the palace of Pharaoh suitable to handle the food for the famine. And that Joseph, when he was 17, was not a very reputable fellow, boasting because of his dreams. It took him 13 years of training before God thought he was suitable. So that's the backstory. God intended it for good. So during that time, there were battles and blessings. And you can read that story from Genesis 37 to the end, if you want to read it in your own time, about that Joseph story. So, as part of that story, towards the end, he talked about, he got two sons. And one of the things he said was, God, thank you. God is in control. God has made me. So made this reference. If there's something happening to you, when it's terrible, he said, don't worry. God is in control. God has that in hand. And equally with the side, when things are going very well, don't be too boastful. It's not what they're doing. Also, God is in control. God has put that in place. So when you go on from that story, to ask the same question, can God choose to be right? So, in my reference, when I talk about God asking to do, can the church to do the right thing, battles and blessings, I was making an analogy of a gym. In order for you to build your faith, and in order for you to do the right thing, can God choose to do the right thing? In order for you to do the right thing, you need to have faith. In order for your faith to grow, you need to have adversity. Think of a gym, you want to have big muscles, you can't lift light weight. You have to lift heavy weight. There must be some resistance for you to grow. In your faith, there must be some resistance, there must be some adversity. Difficult situation, to do an exam, same thing. You can't think about becoming good in algebra. If you only practice, you're doing this 1 plus 1, 1 plus 1. So you won't be excellent in algebra. So, I want to make this point, and I want Haley to start the reading for me. Haley, if you're okay to come and read from Job 1.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all in the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would come and send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of fasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, "If it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around all of him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? But now, stretch your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of their sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.
Oh,
I was 13. 14.
So, this is Job. Everything seemingly well. But the point is, God is proud of him. So I want God to be proud of me as well. And I'm using this analogy. If Ruth was walking down the street and she saw Tiana, she might say, oh, where is Tiana coming out of Sainsbury's? What did she do again? What did she steal? Do you understand? So if you are proud, and back to the same point, can God trust to do the right thing? Can I trust Tiana to do the right thing when she goes into Sainsbury's?
Yes.
So that's the analogy I'm using. God is proud of Job and expects him to do the right thing even when there's adversity. So he's proud to tell Satan that I am proud of this person. He is going to do right. So if you can get Philip's here to continue from 13.
So 15 is going to write down to 15, so I'll continue from there. So while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came and said, the champions formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
So that's my point. Back to the same point in the analogy. And God trusts you to do the right thing when there's adversity. So here we see a scenario where it's all mayhem. But in all of that, he is not charging God with wrongdoing. And God is proud to point Satan to him because God knows he's going to do the right thing. So, same analogy with my test one, Tiana. Same thing about the student. Always aware that there's going to be adversity around us, happening every day, next week, 2 weeks from now, 2 years from now. We need to do the right thing. So, if I can call Tony to just continue from chapter 2, if you don't mind, Tony, verse 1 to 10.
I'll do it for me if that's okay.
Okay,
so on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands. but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Satan did not sin in what he said.
That's just strengthening my point. So there's a peer pressure as well. So you've heard, I'm sure you've heard, when there's some kind of calamity in the world, it's how could God do that? How could a loving God do something like that? So you have your peers or your family or your friends who don't see it the same way. And they question. So that's the point I'm saying. Could we not accept that there will be battles and they will be blessing us? And even when there are battles, when there's adversity, when there's pain, still, we like Job, we have to accept, can God trust us to do the right thing when he's in the way of all of us? So Job recognized that, of course, he's human, so I'm sure he came very close, but he's maintaining that he's not going to put any blame on God for doing wrong. Can I ask Alex to come and read the chapter 11?
When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon them, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they hardly recognized him and began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was.
We can just follow on to Genesis chapter 3. I'm building up that verses for.
After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, a boy is conceived. That day may it turn to darkness. May God of all not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness flame it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it. That night may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered in any of the months. May that night be barren, may no shout of joy be in it. May those who curse days curse that day. Those who are ready to rouse the bell be violent. May its morning stars become dark, may it wait for daylight in the day, and not see the first rays of dawn. For it did not shut the doors of the womb on me to hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not perish at birth, and die as I came from the womb? Why were there knees to receive me and rest that I might be nursed? For now I'll be lying down in peace, I'll be sleeping at rest. You'll see the rulers of the earth who built themselves places and are lying in ruins, with princes who have gold who filled their houses with silver. For why was I not even away and drowned like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? There will yet see from turmoil, and there to where we are at rest. Captives also enjoy their ease. The small and the great are there, and the slaves are free from them.
And when we're in serious matters, we're not in different situations, when we really wish we weren't born husbands in a certain state, we still have to remember this might be a situation where God is saying, have you seen my servant Ruth? Or Philip's here, Kimberly, can he trust his wife? Philip's here, and have you down for 4 in the morning? 42:6.
Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 10 says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Keren Hapuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died an old man and full of years.
Thank you. So that's the blessing of being restored after all the adversity and wishing that he would not be born and all of that. So just back to the parallel. When there's adversity coming on us, we need to be thinking in that kind of mindset. However, in the Christian life, as I mentioned, there's going to be a battle. Internal temptation, external effects of finances or relationships shall have 3 elements. There's going to be the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm sure you've heard the term before. So the world, the enemy around us, it could be our colleagues, work colleagues who are not seeing it in the same way. The flesh, ourselves, our own temptations, and of course the devil, Satan. Those are the 3 ways in which we will be attacked during our Christian life. The world, the flesh, and the devil. So in God's plan, there was never a plan when he created the earth for there to be evil and suffering. But we also know on the other end of that, there will be heaven. So I've written here that we need to consider our suffering as a short space of time within the extent of eternity. So the way to deal with suffering, I say here, the way to deal with suffering is to trust in the Lord. And I read Psalm 33. Can somebody get that? I didn't think of that. Psalm 33, 12-22.
Almost. That was
blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth.
He fashions their hearts individually and considers all their works.
Thank you. So I just want us to have that analogy. That when there is adversity, things not going well, we still have to remember, can we do the right thing? And that's it.
Okay, what I had in mind isn't coming, so I'll give you this one instead. Please play.